This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
This morning. It's great to have Adam here with us this morning.
Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I'm really excited for you.
Why is that?
Well, this week's your birthday.
On Friday, yes.
And then the countdown begins to the big life change.
Yes. I am retiring.
No. Not at all. You're getting married.
I am getting married next month, second weekend of October. And believe me, as I just mentioned, the Badgers in the sports broadcast, I learned a while ago, unbeknownst to me, that October 12th is apparently the busiest wedding day of the entire year, which is crazy considering that summer weddings I always thought were such a big deal. But
oh no, fall weddings have always been bigger.
So October 12th, busiest wedding day of the year, and it is also going to be the day that I think there's five or six multiple ranked matchups in college football. And I have gotten the question, will we be able to watch whatever? Probably not. So get
your
fix in.
You're not going to have TVs in the reception area.
You think I've got, in this economy, I'm not going to be putting big screen TVs in there.
Oh, you're no fun.
Well, what? Are you one of those people that are you one of the people that during the ceremony is kind of just subtly checking down?
Let me tell you, my brother got married. Now, remember, I'm from the greater Chicago area. Mm-hmm. So my brother got married the very first weekend that the Chicago Bulls were in the NBA playoffs back in the 90s,
okay,
which was huge.
Mm-hmm.
They literally had a suite at the Marriott downtown where they had the big screen TV where you could go from the reception to the suite to watch the finals.
Well, that's very nice of them. But the Bulls are not playing in the first time in the playoffs on my wedding. It's going to be just a random slate of college football games.
Let me ask you this. Now,
sure.
Are you, because we know that brides get very intense, very nervous. I've been there. Is in the weeks leading up to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Are you involved in the planning at all, or are you totally removed from that?
100% I am involved.
Oh, you
absolutely
are. How involved are you?
We talk about everything, right down to the decorations. Like Dovey and her maid of honor are handling the decorations, but uh-huh, I'm helping. Like if she says, hey, I need you to help.
What are you helping with decorations?
Assisting if you're like, hey, I need you to, we've got all of these, we're decorating the aisle seats. So
oh,
I have
okay,
a bunch of tassels right, that need to be.
You're making the tassels?
Helping.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. So you're doing, you're on tassel detail.
On tassel detail, talking with the vendors, organizing everything like that. I'm 100% in. I don't want to start off the wedding with, hey, you just do this and, oh, it's great. Yeah, it's cool.
Are you a groomzilla?
No.
Oh.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, but
absolutely not.
It could be, Adam. You could start it.
Also, for the record, in case yes, anyone was wondering, oh, well, are the Badgers playing maybe like a top 10 team? They're playing Rutgers on the day of my wedding. Rutgers. So if you're really jonesing to see the Rutgers. No, they are not a good team. So if you're really jonesing to see Wisconsin and Rutgers, Coloma, Wisconsin has a number of lovely bars and taverns you can go check out the game at.
Well, on the other hand, you know, things can happen. Look at Notre Dame with
Northern
NIU.
Illinois.
I saw the end of that game. Wow.
What a great speech from that coach afterwards.
Yeah, it really
rare
was
that you see a head coach cry in a game like that, but that was an incredible effort for the Huskers.
Well, there were a lot of tears in South Bend with those Notre Dame fans.
It tastes so nice.
Thinking that, yeah, that was a shoe-in for them on their first home game of the season. All right, well, we've got a busy, busy show ahead today. You know, it seems the older you get, the more you spend on medicine. But we have good news. If you're enrolled in Medicare Part D, we're going to share that with you a little bit later on. Also, believe it or not, scammers have figured out how to take advantage of your passion for politics in election season. And our consumer expert shares a warning for you. And of course, this Wednesday, it's going to be 23 years since the events of 9/11. And we're going to tell you where to go for a remembrance event that is going to feature responders to the aftermath. Also, ABC Entertainment correspondent Jacob Nathanson is going to take a look at Beetlejuice, but I'm not going to say it a third time. Also, there's a new film about Ronald Reagan a lot of people are talking about. Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal is going to be here. She is going to tell us how people in Milwaukee will soon be able to get more social while they're working out at the gym. Eric Bilstead shares a story about a surfer who saved a bird. Plus, we're going to... Wasn't that a song? Wasn't there a song?
Surfing Bird?
Yeah, yeah.
The Trash Men, right?
Surf. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Surf is... never mind. Okay, we'll take a look back at the week in review. Adam's here in the newsroom. Isaac is pushing buttons, and in just 2 minutes, Adam's coming back with sports. All here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 52 degrees at 8:13 on WTMJ.
The Brewers entered play on Saturday against the Rockies, looking to avoid their first four-game losing streak of the season. And thankfully for the 33,000-plus at American Family Field, starter Tobias Myers came to the ballpark locked in.
1-2. And he got him looking. Fastball nailed the outside edge. And Tobias Myers with 11 strikeouts here tonight.
Lane Grindle on the call as Myers would finish with a career-high 11 Ks, and the Brewers would take Game 2 against Colorado 5-2. Myers after the game said the biggest X factor in his big night was fastball placement.
They like to hit the fastball, and I mean, I don't blame them. That's usually what good teams do, so just trying to put the heater in a good spot, and then when I need to try to go for the strikeout, just making sure we're out of the zone with it.
And quick check on that magic number. A Brewers win combined with a Cubs loss to the Yankees means that magic number to clinch a playoff spot for the crew is now 10 games. The Brewers and Rockies play for the series win this afternoon at American Family Field. Our coverage starts at 12:35 on WTMJ. Badger football took care of business Saturday, downing South Dakota 27-13 behind 214 yards passing from Tyler Van Dyke. Head coach Luke Fickell says despite the Coyotes' FCS status, the game ended up being a true battle all the way to the end.
I think some people just assume, you know, that you're, you know, hey, your guys are going to blow out these first couple games and things are going to roll, but I had a good idea that we were going to be tested and tested in a different way.
And speaking of test, next up for Wisconsin on Saturday is a high-profile matchup against number 4 Alabama at Camp Randall. The Crimson Tide opened the week as 9.5-point favorites over the Badgers. And still no official word on the injury status of Packers quarterback Jordan Love following the team's 34-29 loss to Philly in Brazil on Friday. ESPN's Adam Schefter has reported that Love suffered what is believed to be a sprained MCL in his left knee that the Packers hope is a 3-to-4-week injury. Love will undergo further testing early this week to confirm the diagnosis. With this WTMJ Sports Update, I'm Adam Roberts.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Yeah, that was quite, could you believe it when that happened to Love the other night? It right at the end of the game, of all things. It was terrible. And, well, hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. But the fact that we're not hearing anything, I think, gives a little more concern than if they immediately had come out and said, oh yeah, he'll be fine. All right, it is 8:18. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to hear about the movie Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, is it worth going to see? A lot of people are talking about it. It's all ahead right here on WTMJ. It is going to be a pretty nice Sunday. Yeah, there'll be a few clouds out there, but it's going to be nice. We'll get up to about 73 degrees, a little bit warmer than the last couple days. Then tonight, clear and breezy. We'll get down to 60, so that's not so bad compared to the last couple of evenings. Tomorrow looks sunny and warm, a high of 83. On Tuesday, we've got sunshine, and it's going to stay right there in the low 80s. And by Wednesday, really warming up, 87 for a high. And then Thursday, yep, that humidity's back with a high of 88 degrees. Currently in Oconomowoc, we have 49 degrees. Cedarburg is at 53. Oak Creek has 53. And it's 53 degrees at 8:20 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And, of course, our eyes, we thought we were turned away from the Summerfest grounds because all those festivals are over. But not so fast, because there might be some improvements being made, Teddy.
Yeah, so Milwaukee World Festival, which is the organization that runs Summerfest, they have issued an RFP looking at ways that they can really increase utilization of the Summerfest grounds. Obviously, it's prime real estate right there on the lake, and it's not used year-round. And so they announced yesterday that they have selected a firm to kind of take that idea a little further and explore potential other uses and other ways to kind of creatively increase profitability for Milwaukee World Festival and also utilize that space even more. So the company they selected is Gensler, which is an architecture firm based in San Francisco. But Gensler is also partnering with a local architecture firm, Zimmerman Architectural Studios.
Any idea what they might do to make it even better?
No, I mean, they're going to be working hard on their proposal, and that's expected to be done by the end of next year. So we may have to wait a bit to see what their ideas are. But it's a 75-acre waterfront property. You know, I mean, many people have obviously been to Summerfest. So, it's, you know, it's a big area. There's potentially a lot of opportunities. I mean, the Summerfest organizers have already been trying to kind of use the space more. Obviously, they used it for the Republican National Convention, for the welcome party. There was a Red Bull wakeboarding event there last week. So, yeah, maybe more events, but, you know, maybe with an architecture firm, maybe something more than that. So we'll certainly be watching. The team has worked on other high-profile areas around the country, like Navy Pier in Chicago, Area 15 in Las Vegas. So they have some good talent working on this project here in Milwaukee.
It sounds really exciting. All right, now let's move to something else. Do you work out a lot, Teddy?
You know, since I had a baby last year, that's been my workout, is trying to keep up with him. So I'm not in the gym as much these days.
But a lot of people are, and there are some changes with Gold's Gym that's really kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, this story has gotten a lot of interest on our website over the last couple of days. So the Gold's Gym in downtown Milwaukee, which is right along the river, on the east side of the river, attached to a office complex called City Center, where there's several local companies based there. So a Chicago investor bought the office complex, the City Center complex, as well as the Gold's Gym building and the Gold's Gym assets. So this Chicago investor, it's a family kind of family-owned investment firm. It's their first time investing in Milwaukee, but they say they're very bullish on Milwaukee, and they have a whole plan to kind of revamp this office and gym space. So they're rebranding Gold's Gym as East Bank Athletic and Social. So it's going to be still a gym, but also kind of adding in some social elements, activities on the weekends and the evenings. And really what the company says is they're going to be trying to cater to residents who are now living downtown in all these new apartments buildings we've been seeing, but maybe they're working from home. Maybe they kind of want some outlets to be a little bit more social. So they have a restaurant plan that will be right along the river. There's a vacant restaurant space within that Gold Gym building. So a lot of exciting changes coming to that space.
It sounds like they're really going to be appealing, especially to younger people who might be looking, you know, for people to meet, kind of a singles vibe there.
Yeah. Or even, you know, they also mentioned older couples who have kind of downsized, want to live in downtown where there's lots to do. And so maybe some of those people would be interested as well. But yeah, in terms of the younger professionals, you know, they're talking about organized flag football and things like that to kind of give young professionals ways to be social outside of work, again, particularly if they're working from home, but also catering to office employees as well, who maybe they don't live downtown, but maybe they're working downtown as all these companies keep moving jobs downtown. And, you know, maybe they would want to have a gym membership and some social activities as well with their gym.
Will that restaurant be open to the public?
Yes. So the restaurant will be part of the club, which is a membership organization, and they'll use it for member events, but it will also be open to the public. They say they're looking to open it by the end of the year, so we'll see if that comes to pass. I know these things usually take longer than expected, but it's an American bistro-style restaurant is what they're currently planning.
No, look forward to trying it. Now, what about this new hotel that's expected on the east side?
Yeah, so we've known that there's a hotel planned on Brady Street. And the latest news here is that it would replace an existing older complex of offices and retail stores. And there's a permit that's been filed to demolish that existing building. So this is just kind of a sign that the hotel is moving forward. The permit could be issued later this month. And so demolition could begin after that, which is obviously the first step for building the hotel. We still don't know for sure which hotel it's going to be, but we do have some sense that it could be a Hilton Tapestry hotel. But we do know that it was approved by the city last year for a 130-room hotel development.
Sounds like a nice little boutique might be coming.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, there are not a lot of hotels in that Brady Street area. So interesting to see that this 11-story, you know, also not a lot of higher buildings there. So this is an 11-story hotel that's planned in that area.
It's another week, so it means more apartments in Wauwatosa. Tell us about what they're planning now.
Yeah, so this is at Mayfair Collection, which is the outlet malls right off of I-41 at the Burleigh exit. You know, Nordstrom Rack is there, Dick's, Old Navy, et cetera. Behind that, there's existing apartments. And then behind that, there's additional space where they're planning even more apartments. So these have already been planned, but they've kind of been delayed. And so now we know that the latest plans are to begin in early spring of 2025. So they are still not super immediate, but we know that there are more apartments planned within Mayfair Collection. There's currently around between 200 and 300 apartments, and they're planning another more than 500 apartments that will be built starting next year. So they're trying to just get more people living in that area to kind of capitalize on all the retail that's there already and create more density in that area.
Let's take a drive down 94. Why is it that U-Line keeps building around Kenosha?
Yeah, I mean, so anyone who's driven down I-94, you've probably seen these massive office buildings for U-Line and massive warehouses. I actually drove down there last week and got a tour, which was really fascinating, and kind of talked to them about what they're using all these spaces for. They have just, it seems like they're constantly hiring, constantly building more. And so they are currently working on a new headquarters building. They already have two headquarters buildings in Pleasant Prairie, and then another headquarters office within one of their warehouses. They're constructing a new headquarters building right now, and they're also constructing another warehouse. They said that all this growth, and of course they're hiring as they're building all these new buildings, they said that this growth is kind of tied to the company's growth as it's continuing to grow its geographical presence across North America with more hubs across the country and Canada and Mexico that ship out supplies to businesses that need them next day. So they need to have these regional hubs all over the country in North America to supply their customers. And all of their shipments come through Pleasant Prairie first, which is really interesting. So they continue, as they grow across North America, they need more space here to be able to receive all of the items and then ship them out to all those regional hubs. So I thought that was really interesting kind of business model.
Do you think that'll have an impact on Amazon's presence in that same area?
Not necessarily. I mean, they obviously compete. That was something I talked to the company's head of HR at Uline. And he did mention that, you know, as they're continuing to hire for all these roles, they are competing with many employers in that area, including Amazon. And so they're definitely finding steep competition in terms of hiring warehouse employees. And I'm sure, you know, Amazon on the flip side might be feeling that competition for hiring with employees going to Uline.
Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Libby.
It's 54 degrees at 829 on WTMJ. We're going to get up to 73 today. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. A little bit later on this half hour, we're going to be talking about Beetlejuice. But first, there was a motorcade crash on a Milwaukee freeway. Also, a tragedy in Georgia, and love took a fall. There was so much more. It's a Week in Review brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Still no good answers this morning on how a crash involving the motorcade for the Democrats' vice presidential nominee, Governor Tim Walz, happened on an expressway here in Milwaukee.
One staffer for the Harris campaign was believed to have a broken arm.
I'm relieved to say that with a few minor injuries, everybody's going to be okay.
A car was kind of weaving towards the motorcade when police were trying to tell her to move over to the left side of the roadway, and that never happened.
Hit to left and deep. Get up!
The Jackson Churro.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
Welcome back to school, Milwaukee, and let's make this a great year.
Whitewater police confirming the identity of the suspect who killed a UW-Whitewater athlete, 23-year-old Chad Richards of Loves Park, Illinois, scheduled to appear in the Walworth County Courthouse today.
She had so much more to give to the world aside from gymnastics. There was nothing that Carrot couldn't do.
The two-phase proposal titled The Domes Reimagined comes as the county navigates ongoing budget issues that prevent it from fully funding any projects.
It removes the challenge permanently from the county's list of obligations.
60 years ago today, this happened in Milwaukee.
The Beatles performed at the Milwaukee Arena to thousands of fans who basically drowned out the music with their shattering screaming.
Why the yelling, though? Couldn't you just applaud or whistle?
No.
Forever known after that day as Beetle Bob, is that right?
I wish I could have been the fourth Beetle. You know, John, Paul, George, and Bob.
It's Jinx. You're wasting your time.
The Kenosha Police Department is investigating an accident involving a southbound Metra train and a pedestrian.
Seven people displaced after a neighboring vacant home burned down overnight in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood.
The blaze at the vacant property near Bremen and Center was intentionally set.
I lifted up the blind and there was just fire everywhere.
Hunter Biden entered his plea, telling Judge Mark Scarsi he did commit tax evasion.
Four people are said to be dead and at least nine others injured from a shooting at a high school about 45 minutes outside of Atlanta.
It's very active and is ever developing.
Never in a million years I would have thought anything would happen like this.
The maximum penalty for felony murder is that you could be punishable by death.
As a nation, we cannot continue to accept the carnage of gun violence.
Breaking news in Milwaukee's northwest side, a large police presence on scene near 91st and Custer. Law enforcement sources tell WTMJ three police officers have been shot.
Police say this was the result of trying to serve a warrant.
It sounded like a tornado went into my house and tore it up.
These officers could have lost their lives today.
Generating rural power for rural America. That was the message the president took to Southwest Wisconsin.
It means 20,000 jobs. So rural America is empowered to lead our clean energy future.
Bye. Packers, bye.
A lot of Packer fans.
Packers Nation is making its presence known in Brazil.
You see a Packer outfit, this is Go Pack Go.
Mike wore his Packers hat, and so that's the key, is so you can always be identified.
They are absolutely wildly excited.
Go Pack Go!
Looking to the sideline, he's there with 5 seconds on the clock.
Love slow getting off the field. He's still down.
And he is in major pain.
Oh, no. There's a man down.
Just hold on 1 second. Just 1 second.
What a week.
Skibbity.
Hi, everybody.
Bye, Packers. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weekend.
And The Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:41. Coming up in just a couple minutes, a surfer saves a bird. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
It's going to be partly cloudy and nice today. We're going to get up to about 73 degrees, 55 at 8:43 on WTMJ. And it's time to check in with Eric Bilstead with his everyday hero.
Wisconsin's Morning News defines an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they would be saving a life. Just a day job. Today we head to Cocoa Beach, Florida for a not-so-typical everyday hero. Brandon Terenez was walking the pier at Cocoa Beach. It's a popular area there on the Atlantic side of Florida. Terenez was walking on the pier when he saw a bird struggling in the water about 30 feet offshore of the beach.
We did think that poor bird might be done for in that moment.
Yeah, he tells Fox 35 in Orlando there's no way that bird was going to survive. Now, they think it's a sooty tern, which is a seabird that can't survive when it's caught in rough waters.
It was either waterlogged or it was pushed in from a storm, and they just get colder and colder. They could get hypothermia.
That's Heather Pepe-Dillon. She's with the Wild Florida Reserve. Now, while Terenez was watching this bird, out of nowhere, a surfer paddles up to the struggling bird, places it on his surfboard, and paddles it back to shore, saving the feathered friend. The surfer was 16-year-old Lucas Mullen, who tells Fox 35 he often plucks these struggling birds from the water and brings them to shore. So does Mullen deserve everyday hero status for saving this bird? Well, that's not necessarily for me to decide, but if you ask Terenez...
It may only take a second out of your day like this surfer, and it can have a ripple effect and, you know, make a lasting impact. He's a hero to a lot of people.
He's a hero.
Thank you, Lucas Mullen, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
I think he's a hero to a lot of birds, too. It's 8:45. You're a minute away from sports on WTMJ.
The Brewers entered play on Saturday against the Rockies, looking to avoid their first four-game losing streak of the season. And thankfully for the 33,000-plus at American Family Field, starter Tobias Myers came to the ballpark locked in.
1-2. And he got him looking. Fastball nailed the outside edge. And Tobias Myers with 11 strikeouts here tonight.
Lane Grindle on the call as Myers would finish with a career-high 11 Ks, and the Brewers would take Game 2 against Colorado 5-2. Myers after the game said the biggest X factor in his big night was fastball placement.
They like to hit the fastball, and I mean, I don't blame them. That's usually what good teams do, so just trying to put the heater in a good spot, and then when I need to try to go for the strikeout, just making sure we're out of the zone with it.
And quick check on that magic number. A Brewers win combined with a Cubs loss to the Yankees means that magic number to clinch a playoff spot for the Crew is now 10 games. The Brewers and Rockies play for the series win this afternoon at American Family Field. Our coverage starts at 12:35 on WTMJ. Badger football took care of business Saturday, downing South Dakota 27-13 behind 214 yards passing from Tyler Van Dyke. Head coach Luke Fickell says despite the Coyotes' FCS status, the game ended up being a true battle all the way to the end.
I think some people just assume, you know, that you're, you know, hey, your guys are going to blow out these first couple games and things are going to roll. But I had a good idea that we were going to be tested and tested in a different way.
And speaking of test, next up for Wisconsin on Saturday is a high-profile matchup against number 4 Alabama at Camp Randall. The Crimson Tide opened the week as 9.5-point favorites over the Badgers. And still no official word on the injury status of Packers quarterback Jordan Love following the team's 34-29 loss to Philly in Brazil on Friday. ESPN's Adam Schefter has reported that Love suffered what is believed to be a sprained MCL in his left knee that the Packers hope is a 3-4-week injury. Love will undergo further testing early this week to confirm the diagnosis. With this WTMJ Sports Update, I'm Adam Roberts.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Sounds like he really likes that little magic wand sound, doesn't he? It reminds me of Tinkerbell. Okay, it is, let's see, coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to be joined by Jason Nathanson. He's got a review not just of Beetlejuice, but the other movie people are talking about, the movie about Ronald Reagan. Is it worth going to see? We'll find out right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Let's check in with Jason Nathanson, ABC News entertainment correspondent in Los Angeles, where all those movies and TV shows are made. And Jason, a big one's opening this weekend, and he's back. I'm afraid to say his name, though.
You can say it twice, and he won't appear. And that's the title of the movie is actually Beetlejuice. So don't say it one more time, or he will appear. Or you could say it three times, because I think people want him to appear, right? They want to see Beetlejuice, so say it as many times as you want. And this is a movie that's been 36 years in the making. The original came out in 1988. Tim Burton introduced us to this wild, magical, mystical world of the undead that was just so cool and original and so fresh. And this one, you have Michael Keaton, obviously, is back as Beetlejuice. And you have Winona Ryder, who originally was the surly, angsty teen in the original film. Now she's grown up. She's got a surly, angsty teen of her own, played by Jenna Ortega. Catherine O'Hara is back as her stepmother as well. And then you also have some new characters. Justin Theroux plays Winona Ryder's fiance. Monica Bellucci plays Beetlejuice's ex-wife. And so
Wait a minute. Did you say Beetlejuice has an ex-wife?
Yes. Yeah, he has an ex-wife, and you get the whole backstory in there as well. Here's the thing, though. I loved the original movie, right? It was so great. I was 11, I think, when it came out. I saw it in theaters, then saw it so many times after that, again, on cable, and rented it, and Blockbuster, and, you know, it was fantastic. Going back to that world, there's always a danger there that it's going to feel nostalgic. And unfortunately, this does, but not for me in a great way, because the enemy of originality and freshness and surprise is nostalgia. And in the original film, all this new stuff that you'd never seen before, the world of the undead, you know all the rules now. So when they're in the waiting room and they just die, we've seen that before. Right? We've seen the sandworms before. There's a big musical number, you know, kind of like the Deo scene in the original one. And it just feels like I've seen this before. which, you know, it's just, it didn't work for me because I never felt surprised. Michael Keaton is great as Beetlejuice. He's always a lot of fun, and he's doing his best here. Catherine O'Hara steals every scene she's in. Justin Theroux is pretty fun as well. The Monica Bellucci, Beetlejuice's ex-wife, whole plot line could be literally lifted out of the movie and we'd never know it was there. It's so kind of disconnected from the rest of everything else. It makes no sense to me.
I was surprised to hear that in the first movie, Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice was only in, what, 17, 18 minutes? Is he in just a limited amount of this film?
No, I think there's a lot more of him. For me, it took a little too long to get to him and Winona Ryder's character together and get them into the world of the undead. That's what you're waiting for, and when that starts, that's when the movie kind of picks up a little bit. I actually did not know that he was only in 17 or 18 minutes of the original one, because that's surprising as well. He's in a lot more of this one. But again, it's like when the Rolling Stones come out with a new album. You listen to it and you go, okay, that was fine. I'm going to go back and listen to the stuff from the 60s and 70s. You'll have a better time watching the original as far as I'm concerned. For me, it's a 6.3 out of 10. That said, I did see it in a screening with a lot of people, fans, like a fan screening. It wasn't just critics. And they were all dressed up and they were all very excited. They seemed to be having a good time. I don't know if they loved it. I don't know if they had a great time, but they seemed to be having fun. And from what I've seen from the audience review scores on Rotten Tomatoes, people seem to be liking it a lot more than I did. So my hope is that you go and have fun and enjoy it. I always want people to enjoy their time in the theater. Just for me, it didn't work.
We're talking with Jason Nathanson. He is the ABC News entertainment correspondent. And Jason, what about Reagan? I've talked to a lot of people. They've seen the movie. They loved it. They loved Dennis Quaid.
Interesting. I hated it. And I seem to be in line with a lot of the critics. On Rotten Tomatoes, it is 21% fresh rated from critics. It is 98% fresh rated from audiences. So there's a huge disparity there.
Wow.
And I get that. And we see that a lot often in faith-based films that are usually made for a particular audience. It's not going to be something that, you know, 90% of people are going to go see, but that hardcore 10% is going to go see. And I think this is made for that hardcore 10% of conservatives and Reagan fans. And taking politics out of it, it's not the politics of the movie that I have any problem with, although it is hagiography. I mean, it really makes Reagan look like the second coming. But to me, it was just a poorly made movie. It looks like it was shot on an iPhone. It felt very low quality. I thought Dennis Quaid was like an SNL version of Ronald Reagan.
You're kidding.
Yeah, there's this weird framing of it's told through the eyes of a former KGB agent who never existed, played by John Voight with a very thick Russian accent. And it's all about, it's framed as Reagan fighting communism throughout his whole life and wanting, his whole goal and his whole life basically was to take down Russia from the early days of the 50s straight through his presidency. That was the one big driver in his life. It's an interesting kind of thought game there to go with something like that. But for me, overall, it just felt like a Hallmark movie, not like a Hollywood movie. I would like to see a high quality version of the Reagan story. I think he's a fascinating character, a fascinating person, and a fascinating president. But for me, that was a 3.4 out of 10.
And you wouldn't have Dennis Quaid play him in your version?
Probably not.
Okay. All right, let's turn to streaming. I love Nicole Kidman, and she's got a new Netflix. Is it a series or is it a single film?
Yeah, it's a series. And this is kind of a cottage industry that she has been a part of now. Murder Mysteries, where she plays kind of a wealthy woman at the center of things. And this is the latest of that. It's adapted from a book that was pretty popular. It's called The Perfect Couple. Nicole Kidman and Liev Schreiber star as a wealthy couple on Nantucket. Their son is getting married at the family compound, and it's a wedding weekend, and somebody shows up dead.
Oh, no.
And they have to figure out what happened. Was this a murder? And then, you know, all the lies and the sex and everything starts to unravel. This is a highly bingeable series. It was made to be binged. It's fun. It's campy. It's very summery, so it's, I'm kind of sad. Actually, it's coming at the end of summer, where I know it doesn't feel like summer for a lot of people. They call things a beach read. I believe the book was probably a beach read. I think this is like a beach series. It's a little cheesy in parts, and it doesn't always work. But when it does, it's fun. I'm halfway through it. I'm binging it. I'm looking forward to finding out who did it. It was a 7.2 out of 10 for me.
It's always fun to go to a wedding when you don't have to bring a gift. All right.
That's true.
Finally, Jason, this I think is fascinating because years ago, Muhammad Ali, believe it or not, had to do a comeback. I mean, we think of him as the boxer of all time, but they've now put together a film based on a real life story.
Yeah, this is actually, it's a series, and it's on Peacock. It's called Fight Night, The Million Dollar Heist. And it's set, it says it's based on a true story, but it's like loosely based on a true story. And it's not necessarily about Muhammad Ali, but it takes place at this time in Atlanta in 1970 when he is doing a comeback and focuses on a hustler known as Chicken Man, played by Kevin Hart. He has a party celebrating Muhammad Ali's return and a wealthy crowd at the party, and then an armed robbery takes place. So that's kind of like the setting of everything. And then you have Samuel L. Jackson, Don Cheadle, Taraji P. Henson, Terrence Howard. A great cast here. Four episodes of that are on Peacock. It is streaming now. I didn't get a chance to see it, unfortunately, but it's getting decent reviews.
So if you don't want to go to the movies, it sounds like you can stay at home and stream some at least interesting series. Jason Nathanson from ABC, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning.
Sure thing. Take care.
It's 8:59. We have 59 degrees. Boy, that temperature is really rising. 73 is going to be our high. We've got Adam Roberts coming in. He's got all the news you want to hear. And then also, when we get back, it's hard to believe, on Wednesday, it's going to be 23 years since those tragic events of 9/11. And we're going to be talking about a remembrance ceremony that's going to be happening right here in Wisconsin. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Adam, do you have very vivid memory of 9/11?
So I do remember the day. I was actually, it was 2 days before my 8th birthday, and I was in second grade. What I remember, I was at Evans Elementary in Fond du Lac, and I remember the announcement went over the PA that, hey, we're monitoring this, and I think the teachers had it on the TVs. I can't remember if they sent us home. I do know that much like much of the nation, we were definitely on edge heading into the rest of that week. But I do remember at least an announcement being made, and a lot of us kids, obviously at 7, you don't know what's going on. But the teachers were definitely taking it serious, and that stuck out to me.
And I'm sure when you got home, you understand the gravity from your parents.
My mom and dad talked with my sister and I and did their best to explain to admittedly young children what was happening in a very complex situation.
It's hard to believe that here you are, you're an adult, you are a news person, and you don't, I mean, your memory of that day was from being very, very young. And it has been 23 years since those tragic events. The Wisconsin 9/11 Memorial and Education Center are going to hold a remembrance ceremony at 1 o'clock in Kewaskum on Wednesday. And joining us is Fuzz Martin. He's from that nonprofit that supports the memorial. And it is interesting, Fuzz, because a lot of young people need to be reminded about what happened that day.
Absolutely. Good morning, Libby, and thank you so much for having me on today. And that story, Adam, is it rings true even with my daughter, who's 9 years old today. Her teachers, actually, some of her, like her first grade teacher, was only 10 when September 11th happened. And so not only teaching today's youth, but those who are teaching our youth is very important to making sure that future generations know what happened on September 11th, 2001, and are able to take away the lessons that we learned on that day, and also how the nation came together after September 11th.
And that's a lot what you do at the Educational Center, Fuzz.
Absolutely. That's the reason that we built it. It's really to help educate future generations. That's our main mission. Our whole memorial is built with just so much symbolism and opportunities for learning built into it. We also, my wife is a teacher. She's helped us to develop lesson plans and field trip guides for students that are available on our website for those who do visit the memorial, or for teachers and homeschoolers and other organizational groups with children who might want to be able to teach third through fifth graders or sixth through eighth graders or older about September 11th in a way that might better communicate with them at their age level, because it is a hard subject to talk about with younger students, but it is important that we do teach that.
And at the center, you do have a steel beam that came from that fallen North Tower. And I think it's important to stress how solemn it is to stand in front of that.
It really is. It's the to just think about where that tower was, where that beam was. I mean, it was in the North Tower of the World Trade Center in, you know, in New York City. And for it to be that 2,000-pound piece of steel, that rusted piece of steel, to be sitting in Kewaskum, Wisconsin, and pointing back directly at Ground Zero in New York is a very moving piece. And the knowing the journey that it took to get that steel here after the cleanup and after it had been sitting in a in the port at the New York Port Authority, and we were able to procure it and get it to Wisconsin and to make it the centerpiece of our memorial. Just knowing its journey was very moving and very important. And being there next to it is moving and it is solemn.
And speaking of that, this Wednesday at the Remembrance event, you have two individuals who are on the 9/11 disaster rescue and recovery team at Ground Zero, and they're going to be speaking this year.
Yes, they're Ronaldo Vega and Mike Kenny. They've been to the memorial, to our memorial, at least a handful of times since it's been built. They were very important in getting our memorial built. They're very close with Gordon Hopperman, who is the father of Andrea Hopperman, who was killed in the North Tower. She's from Kewaskum, or from Farmington. She went to Kewaskum High School. And they're so supportive of our memorial and our mission of what we're doing. But yes, Ronaldo was on the 9/11 disaster and recovery team at Ground Zero. He's also an architect. He was the senior director of design for the National 9/11 Museum and Memorial. He also helped us. We have a really cool piece at our memorial. It's called the Survivor Tree. And it was there was a tree inside the plaza at Ground Zero that was mangled after the buildings had fallen. They were able to take that tree and nurse it back to health. It's a pear tree, a calorie pear tree. And we have a seedling from that tree that's called the Survivor Tree. And we have now that, you know, a seedling directly from that tree, a descendant from that tree that's growing in our memorial. And Ronaldo is the one who helped get us that tree and bring it to the memorial, along with Mike Kenny, who was also very important to that part. And he also was a project executive for the New York City Department of Design and Construction. He also helped rescue those as part of Superstorm Sandy. And he's also testified before Congress for those who were affected by all the lung cancer and things that people were receiving after cleanup at Ground Zero. They're very, very committed to September 11th causes, and they're both characters, and they're going to be great speakers, and I'm really looking forward to hearing them talk on Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
And let's tell everybody where the 9/11 memorial is in case they haven't visited it before.
Sure. The Wisconsin 9/11 Memorial and Education Center is right directly on U.S. Highway 45 in Kewaskum. So it is the freeway ends, U.S. 45 turns into a regular highway in Kewaskum, and right there, right in downtown Kewaskum, the memorial is right at the corner of U.S. 45 and State Highway 28. And you can't miss it. It's beautiful. It's right there. Now, Kewaskum is currently under construction, so U.S. 45 is only southbound at the moment, so you'll have to go a little bit north of the memorial through the detour and come south to get to the memorial, but it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, a little bit later on this morning on WTMJ Conversations after 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Peter Rettler, and he is, well, you know Peter, certainly, and he's done a lot in terms of getting support and also getting kids to be really aware of what happened on 9/11.
Yes, absolutely. Pete has been so great as a fundraiser, a staunch supporter of our memorial, and for making sure that people know about the memorial, that they're bringing students to the memorial, and that we're making sure that that schools have access to get students to the memorial. field trips are expensive these days. Schools don't have a lot of money, and Pete has really taken it upon himself to make it his mission to make that access more affordable and easier for schools to get students to the memorial to learn about September 11th. And we're extremely grateful for Pete and his son Jack and all that they do for the memorial.
And we're going to have their story again at 11 o'clock this morning on WTMJ Conversations. Fuzz, if anybody wants more information about the Wisconsin 9/11 Memorial and Education Center, where can they go?
Certainly. The website is Wisconsin911Memorial.com. So just spell it all out, Wisconsin911Memorial.com. And we have all of our resources there. You can find it all. And we really appreciate any feedback and any if anybody has any questions, they can reach out at any time.
And Fuzz, it's so important, especially for young people, that they are aware of those events of those days. And, you know, for those of us who do have vivid memories of it, it's such a moving memorial to visit.
It certainly is. And we built it so that people can come and remember that day. And every time I drive past there or I'm there, swapping out some pamphlets or anything like that, and I see people, they're always moved. And it sometimes it brings a tear to my eye or gives me goosebumps to see and just knowing that people are still moved to this day. It tells me what all the work that went into this was the right thing to do. And it brings me pride and joy that we've put what we have into this to make something that was such a tragic day a learning experience and a positive piece in our community.
Fuzz, thank you so much for all, and you all of the volunteers with the Wisconsin 9/11 Memorial do. Thank you for everything that you've done, and we'll see you then on Wednesday at 1 o'clock right there in Kewaskum.
Libby, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's 9:20. Coming up next, we've got sports on WTMJ. There was a heartbreaking loss on Friday night for the Packers against the Eagles. We are still waiting to hear exactly what the injury of Jordan Love means to the team. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Rockies 5-2, and our coverage begins today with Brewers warm-up at noon on WTMJ. I'm Libby Collins. Coming up in just a couple minutes, Julia's going to be here with some interesting things to tell you. It's all on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be a beautiful day today, partly cloudy and nice. We'll get up to 73 degrees at 61 at 925 on WTMJ.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I need you to mark your calendars for the best and biggest sale coming to the Wisconsin State Fair Parks Exposition Center, starting with the pre-sale Thursday, September 19th, and it runs through Sunday, September 22nd. We're talking about 50 to 90% off the retail price of strollers, books, clothing, and more, which you'll quickly realize you'll never need to buy new again. The place to be is called Just Between Friends, Milwaukee County. Head to milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com to learn more. I'm Julia Fellow, host of Wisconsin's Afternoon News, letting you know about the special pop-up marketplace for families to buy and sell gently used infant through teen clothing and baby gear. Again, you can check it out at milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. Just Between Friends Milwaukee County is put on by two wonderful sisters, Melissa Mansour and Melinda Herbert, who I've gotten to know so well. Melissa joins us here with our Sunday Sip. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So I first want to talk about how amazing it was this past spring when I went. I was blown away, especially just by the community that I saw. But when you go in there, I couldn't believe how much clothing there was alone. Yes. It was like a football field long.
Exactly. It's 55,000 square feet. We had over 700 consigners sign up. Anything from clothing, toys, books, baby equipment, outdoor equipment, anything you can think of, we have there for kiddos up through juniors.
What do you love about it?
Everything. I love that people can clean out their closets of their kiddos' items. They're able to make money. And then we can help the community save money by buying for the next season.
And some people are wondering, okay, if there's cribs available, car seats, strollers, are those checked through and all the toys?
Yes. So we have actually a recall person that goes through, checks all the bigger items, make sure that they're not recalled, make sure that they're in good condition. We also have consigners that check the clothing too, to make sure that they're not stained, tears, anything like that. So we only accept the best of the best.
So the place to go to is milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. This is another amazing part. Even my boss, Tiff Pua, takes part in this. She's been doing this for years. And you can make, you know, at least almost $600. That's the average. Can you tell me about the consignment aspect of this?
Sure. You can go ahead on our website. You can sign up to sell. It's very easy. You enter your own items, your price. You determine if they go half off and or if they're donated. And then they earn 60% of what they sell.
And again, the average person who consigns makes how much, do you think?
About $575. Some make more.
Yeah.
Up to $2,000. We had over 3,000 shoppers the last sale. So we're expecting an even bigger turnout.
I know. I saw some with major U-Hauls coming in with stuff, and
exactly.
They love it. What
yes.
What happens to the stuff that isn't sold if they choose for it to be, you know, donated?
So we've been working with a charity since we started in 2008. It's called A Blessed Again, Place of Refuge, and they come and pick up any of the donated items.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm sure that they love it, and I think that that's a really good cause to our community. Let's go through each day. Pre-sale, that's a big one. That's my favorite day. Thursday, September 19th.
Yes, so that is any consigners can shop early. Sellers, we have a pre-sale for teachers, expectant parents, military, daycares, foster parents. You can just go online and you get a free ticket.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
And you get nice, you know, shopping time, you
exactly.
know, nice and early. What are the hours that day? Do you know?
9 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. Then we go to the really grand opening, Friday, September 20th, which is a bonanza.
Correct. So we are open to the public. There's always a line to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to get in there. We're open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. In the evening, we have a special teen night for your teens to come shop the junior section. We have a dressing area. They can try on their clothes. We're going to have music, give away door prizes for the teens. That comes shopping.
Yeah, and that website to go to is milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. We go to Saturday, September 21st, almost done.
Yes, it goes by fast.
It does.
So we are open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we are going to be having for 2 hours, we're going to be having two characters that will come. In the spring, we had Spider-Man and a princess that came and took pictures with the kiddos, talked to them. They had a blast. So we're going to be having that also. And then we do have a half-price pre-sale from 6 to 8 p.m. You can get your tickets online. And any item that has a star will be remain full price. Any items without a star is going to be 50% off. And it's a ton of items.
You know what I like about Saturday, too, is that you roll in some new items as well.
We have mm-hmm. two extra drop-offs, so you can see new items that come in.
And then Sunday is a really good day, too, because how much was the percent off on Sunday?
It's 50% off. That's our last day. We are open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Awesome.
We also have a small window of shopping from 4 to 5. It's 75% off. So that's any item that is half off and also is going to be donated. Those will be 75% off.
Wow. And we also have Spider-Man and the Disney Princess. I don't want to forget about that. That's happening Saturday, right?
That is correct.
Is that from noon to 2?
Noon to 2.
Just Between Friends, the best and biggest sale for children's items is coming to Wisconsin State Fair Park's Exposition Center with a pre-sale Thursday, September 19th through Sunday, September 22nd. Learn more now at milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. It's a pop-up marketplace for families to buy and sell gently used infant through teen clothing, baby toys, essentials you need for your family, and more. You can get free tickets for public days at their website, milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. Again, you can check it out at milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com. Melissa Mansour, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, it's milwaukeecounty.jbfsale.com.
Welcome back to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Well, of course, we're deep into political season, and that means nonstop ads, texts, emails, and solicitations for candidate support. But is that organization you're donating to actually supporting the cause or person you're led to believe? Joining us is our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen. And Michelle, how do we know if these PACs are legit?
While we know there's thousands of political action committees or PACs registered with the Federal Elections Commission, and these PACs fundraise and solicit donations to campaign for or against federal candidates and the different issues that they may want to support. But unfortunately, bad actors also create PACs. These are ill-intentioned PACs that also solicit donations, but little to no money raised is spent on the political campaigning. Instead, these scammers pocket the money for themselves. Sometimes a single scammer might create dozens of fake PACs all at one time. And so we really want consumers to be mindful of that, because we want the money that they are going to be providing to these PACs to support the causes or candidate that they desire.
Now, you know, a lot of us, we feel strongly about certain issues or candidates, but how do we know if some of these solicitations are legitimately from the groups that we support?
Well, that's the difficult part here, is it's very hard to track. I mean, scammers ask for small donations totaling less than $200 so they can avoid disclosing donor information to the FEC, which makes it harder for law enforcement officials to identify them and their victims. And that means it's going to be more difficult to track how they're using those funds and if they're actually going to support causes. So we want to be sure that you are cautious. Do not give money to a PAC unless you can do a verification. And that means checking them out with the Federal Elections Commission. And be sure that it lists the name and contact information of its leaderships and organizations. And only provide donations to the actual organization. Be cautious if a PAC will only accept donations via mail or through a P.O. box.
And also, there's one important question that these PACs and election committees need to be asking you.
Yes, the PACs do need to verify that you are a citizen. So be sure that they are asking you that question in order to accept that donation money.
All right. So if we need to have more information, if you think maybe this might not be legitimate, who do we need to call?
Call Consumer Protection at DADCAP 1-800-422-7128. But I do want to make sure people know to visit the FEC.gov to learn more about any PAC and how it spends its money.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. It's 942, 60 degrees at WTMJ. We'll have your forecast right after this. It's going to be partly cloudy and very nice today. 73 will be our high. Then tonight, clear, breezy, 60. Tomorrow looks sunny and warm, 83. Same thing on Tuesday, but then Wednesday and Thursday, we get back up into the 80s with a lot of humidity and sunny skies. In Pleasant Prairie right now, it's 60 degrees. Franklin has 60. Colgate's at 58. And we have 60 degrees at 945 on WTMJ. And you're a minute away from sports.
The Brewers entered play on Saturday against the Rockies, looking to avoid their first four-game losing streak of the season. And thankfully for the 33,000-plus at American Family Field, starter Tobias Myers came to the ballpark locked in.
1-2. And he got him looking. Fastball nailed the outside edge. And Tobias Myers with 11 strikeouts here tonight.
Lane Grindle on the call as Myers would finish with a career-high 11 Ks, and the Brewers would take Game 2 against Colorado 5-2. Myers, after the game, said the biggest X factor in his big night was fastball placement.
They like to hit the fastball, and I mean, I don't blame them. That's usually what good teams do, so just trying to put the heater in a good spot, and then when I need to try to go for the strikeout, just making sure we're out of the zone with it.
And quick check on that magic number. A Brewers win combined with a Cubs loss to the Yankees means that magic number to clinch a playoff spot for the Crew is now 10 games. The Brewers and Rockies play for the series win this afternoon at American Family Field. Our coverage starts at 12:35 on WTMJ. Badger football took care of business Saturday, downing South Dakota 27-13 behind 214 yards passing from Tyler Van Dyke. Head coach Luke Fickell says despite the Coyotes' FCS DNS status, the game ended up being a true battle all the way to the end.
I think some people just assume, you know, that you're, you know, hey, your guys are going to blow out these first couple games and things are going to roll. But I had a good idea that we were going to be tested and tested in a different way.
And speaking of test, next up for Wisconsin on Saturday is a high-profile matchup against number 4 Alabama at Camp Randall. The Crimson Tide opened the week as 9.5-point favorites over the Badgers. And still no official word on the injury status of Packers quarterback Jordan Love following the team's 34-29 loss to Philly in Brazil on Friday. ESPN's Adam Schefter has reported that Love suffered what is believed to be a sprained MCL in his left knee that the Packers hope is a 3-4-week injury. Love will undergo further testing early this week to confirm the diagnosis. With this WTMJ Sports Update, I'm Adam Roberts.
Do you suppose Adam uses that magic wand when he goes to the grocery stores and makes those eggs disappear? Inquiring minds want to know. Okay, it's 948, 62 degrees at WTMJ. If you are on Medicare Part D, there are some changes coming to you in a couple months, and we're going to tell you all about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Millions of Americans are facing a little bit different rules out of their out-of-pocket prescription drug cap through Medicare Part D. And joining us is Lee Purvis. She is the prescription drug policy principal for AARP. And Lee, can you break it down for us? What are some of these changes we're going to see?
Sure. We are going to see a very important change starting in 2025, which is that out-of-pocket expenses are going to be capped for people in Medicare prescription drug plans, which is really important because previously there was no limit on how much people had to spend on their prescription drugs. And we know that there were some people spending upwards of $10,000 per year just on prescription drugs.
Wow. So what would be the number now? If you're spending $10,000 out of pocket before the end of the year, what is it going to be for 2025?
In 2025, the cap is going to be $2,000, which is obviously a huge savings for those people who are spending so much money.
Sure. And how many Americans do you think will be covered by this? I mean, will it make a significant difference for people?
It absolutely will. AARP actually just undertook some research to look at how many people are going to benefit from this new cap. And we found that next year, about 3 million people are going to hit the cap. And by 2029, more than 4 million people are going to hit the cap. So the number of people who are going to benefit will be growing over time.
With an aging population, I can see that it will affect people over time. Will we see this number change again, or do you think this is going to be the cap for the foreseeable future?
So the cap is going to move with the other parts of the Medicare Part D benefit, which is what the Medicare prescription drug plans follow. So there's like a deductible and things like that, and those change with spending under that program. So we will see some changes to that $2,000 cap, but the expectation is it's not going to change very much, at least for the next several years.
Yeah, how important do you think this change of legislation is to the average American?
Oh, it's incredibly important. For people who were facing those high out-of-pocket costs, a lot of them were having to choose between paying for their prescriptions and paying for other things like their food or their rent. And this is going to go a long way towards making it where they don't have to make those types of decisions.
Now, I know that there's a number of people who get Medicare. Not all of them are covered by Plan D. What differential is there?
So Medicare Part D covers about 56 million people in Medicare, and there's about 66 million people overall in the Medicare program. So it covers a pretty good share of people who do have Medicare. And so these changes are specific to people who are in those Medicare prescription drug plans.
At AARP, have you done any studies indicating what the best choices are for seniors who are covered by Medicare?
That is a great question, and it's actually very individualized. It really depends on what prescription drugs you're taking, and you want to make sure that your plan covers the drugs that you're taking and then also covers them in a way that you can afford. So it's actually something that we highly recommend everyone look into every year during Medicare open enrollment, which is from October 15th till December 7th every year, and really take a look at your plan options and make sure you're in the best one for you.
And what does AARP offer in terms of information? Is there a place where we can go to find out more?
People who want to learn more about these issues can go to aarp.org/Part D spending cap.
Lee Purvis from AARP, you're their prescription drug policy principal. Thanks so much for sharing this information with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's 9:55. Well, educator Peter Rettler made a commitment to run every single day over 30 years ago, but it hasn't always been easy. He told me about the day he ended up in the hospital before he got his run in for the day. You never got hurt?
Never, like a knee injury or anything like that. I mean, I've had kidney stones at one point that I was able to run through.
You kept running?
Yeah, I remember that day really well because I was a coach in the Wildcat Wrestling Club and we were setting up for our youth tournament. All of a sudden, I got this pain in my back and I collapsed and my wife drove me to the hospital. And honestly, I thought I was dying. I had no idea how I could be in so much pain. So they checked me over and they put me on morphine that day. And I finally, it was like, finally some relief. And I remember when things settled down, the doctor came in there. He goes, Pete, you don't have a kidney stone. You got two. And at that point, the morphine had kicked in. So I was feeling good. And I'm like, can I run today? And he's like, why would you want to run? And my wife was there and she goes, he's got to run every day. He's got this streak. And the doctor's like, yeah, you can run, but I suggest you do it maybe while the morphine's still in you when you get home because the pain is going to come back.
And I will be back with the whole story from Peter Rettler. That's coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Right after the news with Adam, we've got Brian Wickard and Tim Holdman on the Accunate Mortgage and Realty Show. And there might be some good news for you if you are out there looking for a house, and they're going to tell you all about it. That's coming up a little bit. Well, probably about 10 minutes or so. It's going to be a beautiful day today. We're looking at a few clouds in the sky, but basically it's going to be sunny, nice. We're going to finally warm up a little bit. I had to put on a jacket yesterday. It was pretty chilly out there. We're going to get up to 73 degrees today. Not quite as chilly overnight with a low of 60. And then, hold on to your hats. Summer's going to be back. We're back in the 80s for the rest of the day. And by Wednesday and Thursday, there's going to be a lot of humidity out there. 62 degrees at 9:57 on WTMJ. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got Adam Roberts and the news.